All right, listen. I got something for you. All right, here's what I got for you is that I'm going to start chapter 18 because we have exhausted chapter 17. I mean, we have saturated ourselves with chapter 17. We know chapter 17, so we're going to begin talking tomorrow about the destruction of Babylon. But today, I really feel like I want to give you the verse that I just really blew by yesterday. I referenced it yesterday. I laid on you such a glorious expectation, such a glorious reality, that I want to give you the verse. I want you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is what we're coming into. And how odd of all things that God used for this, the Great White Throne, which we're coming up on in chapter 20 in Revelation. How marvelous, really, that chapter 20 of Revelation became a springboard for an understanding of our calling and our expectation. I told you from the beginning, and we're winding down this series, we're entering chapter 18. There's only 22 chapters here. And, you know, I'm going to be happy to get to chapter 19, verse 5, I think it is, when we start to see the God things. We're closing the chapter on human history, human fleshly history, I should say. There won't be an end of human beings on the earth. No, there won't be. And on the new earth, there will be human beings. And ladies and gentlemen, there will be human beings in heaven. We're never going to stop being human beings. You notice that God creates a new humanity. We're just new human beings. We're still humans. What's the difference between an old human being and a new human being? That's a good question. I have the answer because that's what I do. The difference is immortality. The difference is the new humanity will be infused, suffused, completely controlled by the Spirit of God rather than by the soul. Now we're called soulish creatures, and we do have a measure of the Spirit, and that causes us to believe, but we are, it's not the majority of, we are overwhelmed by the soul still. It's that Spirit of God that helps us understand, helps us come to a realization of what I am about to tell you this morning. Without the Spirit of God, you will not be able to understand what I am about to tell you this morning. And I whetted your appetite yesterday. I gave you a practical example of how we, among the celestials, will be administering Christ to the world. How are we going to do that? Of course, through His Spirit. I'm going to quote now from my own book. This is, I know the image is still reversed here. This is the first idiot in heaven. Here's the verse I told you about. I said it was Ephesians 1, 2, and 3, chapters 1, 2, and 3. We have, I'm quoting now from Ephesians 1:10. We have an administration of the complement of the heirs, unquote. Now, I'm quoting from a literal version. So you're not used to hearing that word complement. It means that which fills. If you take a piece of pie out of a whole pie, that piece becomes the complement then. If you put it back, it completes the entire pie. So it's a missing piece. That's Ephesians 1:10. We have an administration of the complement of the heirs. What does that phrase mean? Complement of the heirs. Filling the heirs. What does that mean? A complement is the thing, this is quoting from the book, a complement is the thing that completes something heretofore incomplete. That's the radical thing here. An example, the pie maybe wasn't too good because the pie was complete. With Adam, you can say he became incomplete. Adam was complete. He contained both sexes in the wisdom of God. He became incomplete. He removed the hollow angular vault from Adam, the womb, to build the woman. Not the rib. And from that he built the woman. Adam became incomplete, and the woman is now his complement. Genesis calls her. She completes now what he lacks. This is why men go toward women so strongly, is because the man lacks. And we are lacking also. I make a parallel here. That we are also lacking. And we long for Christ. We long for God. Because we're missing something. What are we missing? The Spirit. We have it in measure. Enough to be frustrating. It's a big tease. And it keeps us on edge. Keeps us longing. Keeps us lusting. Nothing wrong with the word lust, ladies and gentlemen. It just means desire. Desiring God in Christ, our completion. The analogy is a man's desire for a woman. That's why God created two sexes in the first place, to show us that he loves inequality, he loves movement, and it's a power pull. It's a power pull beginning with a woman, and the man is drawn because he is lacking. Perfect analogy of God. God is a power pull, and we long for God because we're the ones lacking. God isn't lacking. He made us to lack. He made Christ even a little lower than the angels, right? He made Christ to lack, and Christ longed. He made him to lack. He didn't always lack. He was at the right hand of God before his manifestation on the earth. He took the form of a human, Philippians chapter 2 or 3. So we're in the same predicament. I'm not saying, well, yes, I am saying that in this we're like Christ. Not only are God's times, that is the eras, incomplete without the work that we shall do, but Christ himself is incomplete without his body. Here's the verse, Ephesians 1:23. It backs up this startling truth I'm telling you. Here it is. God gives Christ as head over all to the ecclesia, which is his body, the complement of the one completing the all in all. The complement, the filling, the body is the filling of the one who will fill everything, which is Christ. I'm going to slow down the film here and give you this thing step by step. So in the beginning, God gave Christ to be head over all his creation, right? God gave Christ to be head over all his creation because all is created in Christ, Colossians 1:16. God could have done it by himself, but it pleased him to do it through a son. God could have done it through himself, but he wants fellowship. So the first fellowship he created was his own son. And Jesus said, I came out of the Father. John 16:28. Simple, I came out of the Father. For what purpose did he come out of the Father? Through the Son, the Father intended to and will reconcile everything ever created to himself. Through the Son. The Son is the agent by which it pleases God to reconcile all things back to himself, all people, all animals, all angels, all good and evil celestial beings through Christ. It's fantastic, but I'm not making it up. It's Colossians 1:16 through 20. So he's going to use Christ. Now, Christ in turn decides not to do it by himself. Follow the pattern here. God, at one point in universal history, is all by himself. I know it's crazy. You can't even imagine a time. But you can imagine this better than you can imagine that God had no beginning. Okay, you can't even try to imagine that. I used to tell that to my kids. God had no beginning. And they would jump up and down on the bed in frustration, screaming like, what do you mean God had no beginning? I said, I don't know what I mean because no one can grasp it. But God created Christ to bring all creation back to himself. He used Christ as an agent because he wanted a partner. He wanted help. This is why Adam longs for Eve. He wants a complement. He wants help in his work. He needs it. I need it. I really do. It's another topic. So, you see, it goes right down the line. God needs fellowship, and he wants an agent. That's such a cold word. No, he wants a partner. He wants help. He wants a complement. He creates Christ. Christ is lonely. He creates a body. He creates us. And if you think this is all abstract, and you think, oh, we can't see any of this, then just look to Adam and Eve, because that's a picture that we can grasp, that we can see every day. It's a picture of what we mean to Christ and what Christ means to God. And Paul takes it right down the line. God is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of the man. Man's the head of the woman. Woman's the head of her hair. Yes, her hair. I get into this in my book, Eve Raised. Hang on. So look, it's a telescopic effect. Starts with God, goes to Christ, goes to man. Man goes to woman. All these individuals are here to help each other, to complete one another. And without them, we're all incomplete. I'm incomplete without a woman in my life. Incomplete. Life's not good for me without that. Christ is incomplete without his body. This is what I told you yesterday that was the shock maybe to some of you. I don't know. Maybe it wasn't. A lot of you know this, but it doesn't hurt to hear it in new terms. Maybe I can explain it a different way that'll hammer it home to you. Christ is incomplete without his body. Incomplete. God chooses to be incomplete without Christ. I mean, God is God, but he creates Christ because it's lonely at the top. Eh? I'm going to quote now from Colossians 1. This is what I've been telling you. I got to get through this because I want to tap on another verse here. Colossians 1, 18 through 20. I was going to have you read this on your own, but listen to this. And he, Christ, is the head of the body, the ecclesia, that's us, who is sovereign. Christ is sovereign, firstborn from among the dead, that in all he may be becoming first, for in him the entire complement, that is the filling of God, delights to dwell, and through him to reconcile all to him, that's everything, making peace through the blood of his cross, through him, whether those on the earth or those in the heaven. Okay, listen to this. Let's go to Ephesians 1:23 again. I'm going to break it down in the closing moments of this show. God gives him, Christ, as head over the ecclesia, which is his body. That's us. Made up of people, of individuals who are today being called out because they've been chosen beforehand. The complement, the ecclesia is the complement of the one completing the all in all, which is Christ. Let me read this from the book. This is me writing from the book. Read it slowly. His body, Christ's body, this refers to us, the body of Christ, is the complement of, that is, it completes, the one completing the all in all, referring to Christ. For Christ is the one, in 1 Corinthians 15:28, who makes God everything to everybody. And then in the book, I realized I need to explain this a different way. Try it this way. The one who completes everything is Christ. And we complete the one who completes everything. We complete Christ. In other words, Christ is incomplete without us. Without us, he is a bodiless head. This incomplete state of Christ keeps the universe from completion. Thus, the created universe awaits us. Sentient beings, even animals, subconsciously anticipate our change into glorious heavenly beings. They somehow subconsciously realize that we are the key to their deliverance. Romans 8:19, for the premonition of the creation is awaiting the unveiling of the sons of God. I know how unbelievable and unlikely this must seem, but it delights God to do this, and it delights Christ. None of us dreamed this up. Who could have? Do you think you cannot wait to see Christ? Your longing for him pales in comparison to his longing for you. Christ will not begin completing the universe without us. How's that? If you're having a bad day before, I would think that after reading this, this is the effect it's having on me as I speak to you, my own words, quoting from Scripture here, has the effect of really slapping me out of my silly little moods and appreciating that, especially this calling, it's not all about me. It's not all about you. We always talk about how we long to see Christ. You know what it's about? It's about Christ, it's about God, and it's about the universe. It's about Christ primarily because he's hungry for us. The snatching away, I talk about that a lot. Harpazo in the Greek for snatching. It's used of a wolf taking a sheep. It's used in one of the Gospels of a wolf snatching a sheep away because it's hungry, it's ravenous. And so the snatching away is not so much an escape from this earth from indignation, although it is that, but it speaks more to the hunger of Christ for us, the snatching away. Look at it for a change from his point of view. He's hungry like the wolf. He wants us, and he's coming to get us because it's his passion, it's his desire. He longs for us like God longed for him. There's a void. There's a void that's waiting to be filled. And believe it or not, we fill it. We are the complement, the filling of the one who is fulfilling the all in all. When we go back to Christ and Christ goes back to God, the telescope comes out, the telescope comes back, and it always comes back richer, deeper, fuller, more glorious than when it left. Otherwise, this process, otherwise this existence, these frustrations are for naught. Otherwise, if, as some people say, we're coming back to where we were in the Garden of Eden, no, that is not the case. We're coming back to a greater glory, just like Jesus Christ had a greater glory with his Father after he was lowered to the depths of the cross and the grave. We are in the present state of being lowered, but we are going to be exalted. We're now hid. Our life is hid together with Christ and God. But whenever Christ, our life, is manifest, then we will be manifested with him in glory.